Brian's there.
Is Brian Tyus a member?
Yeah, I think so. Or he's a listening member.
Oh,
He doesn't vote.
good morning.
The Queen of Charm is
It's
here.
good. We haven't even called the meeting to order. We're waiting for you. We're waiting for you.
So,
Your morning, morning exercise routine, right? So, welcome, everybody. It's nice to see these mayors in person. We have a third mayor. Let's call the meeting to order September 24th of the Highland Council of Governments. We're going to start out. I was acknowledging who was online, and I'd also like to acknowledge that the Southwood has a new executive director. His name is Jim Pivarnik, and he's here today to experience some of the fun we have between this and IRTPO this morning. But we're going to move on to the approval of minutes from August 27th.
I move approval.
Motion's made. Is there a second?
Second.
Any second in any question or any changes? All in favor? Aye. Right. Okay, thank you. We'll slide right into our jail needs assessment and feasibility study. Jill, why don't you take us into this first?
Well, when we were going to talk about this, I didn't really think through who was presenting it. And this has only been presented to us. So I'm not the presenter of the information, but Rick's here. And we are on a jail committee right now that is the Island County judges, sheriff. What's Jose's title again?
Chief Jail Administrator.
Chief Jail Administrator. I give him lots of titles. Myself, the prosecutor, human services. So it's very internal to kind of lead this needs assessment. Jeff's here. He's in the back. He took over for Ryan Beach, who was leading the effort. And now what we have back is this this is the needs assessment. But the needs assessment is kind of the analysis of where they think we are headed in the next 40-ish years in terms of what we would need for a jail. It is not the final plan of what we're doing. And in fact, there's still decisions within this needs assessment that need to get made. So like site selection, then the part that I think the community will have the most feedback about will be cost. That will be determined by how many rooms we have and how much space we have. And so what I thought we would do is just kind of walk through this needs assessment, and that if there's questions we know how to answer, we'll answer. If there's concerns or initial thoughts or reactions, well, I'll just write those down and we'll come back. Ultimately, the commissioners will set the site and the dollar amount, but we won't make those final decisions until we hear from everybody. So that's where we are.
Does anybody have them?
We loaned my book to Jim.
You can have mine. I have one in the office.
We had sent them out electronically.
Oh, we were electronic senders.
Some of us got spoiled with paper.
Do you have an extra book? Thank you.
No, I just brought all three of them.
Is it both of these things? Or is
there's three things.
There's three things there. Okay.
How long do I have? Because I could go fast or slow. It depends on questions, I guess.
We're going to have a little bit of broadband information from Cody. What's that going to take? 10 minutes? 15 minutes?
Okay. It shouldn't need to take 10.
Okay, so you got lots of time.
Okay, so the first section, we have the executive summary. You can read that. So the first conversation we discussed was really the site. And we looked at sites that Island County currently owns. So not property we'd need to buy, not property that any other municipality would have or any other entity would have. Like maybe the port's like, hey, we've got property. Why don't you build a jail at Green Bank? Well, we did not consider that because that's not property we own. Also, we really need to be on a sewer system because, well, if you know people who live in the jail, they're not really designed for septic systems. They like to flush stuff.
And just by code, it wouldn't work.
So. Like, into our plant.
Yeah, yes.
We have experience with that.
Yes, it's really lovely. They find sometimes that clothes are optional and that they should be disposited into the waste system.
And
it's a good time.
And Rick said it's by code as well, huh?
Yeah, I don't think I'm not a planner or a code enforcement person, but I think that a septic system, it wouldn't be acceptable for it's essentially a commercial building with that many occupants and that many mm-hmm. toilets and sinks and that
it'd
kind
be,
of stuff.
It'd be hard to get us. I mean, you could do it.
There's
it
probably some kind of a mini treatment planner or a grinder or something.
It'd be hard to get a system to work for sure. So we're looking at areas that we can access water, sewer, or have. So our first consideration was a solid waste transfer site, which is up on North Woodby, kind of where the road shop is area. We have a dumpish transfer station. That's what I heard up there.
Is there sewer up there? There's no sewer up there.
They have it.
It's close. Yeah.
So the dynamics there are one, it's in an accident potential zone. So we would need to get a conditional use permit to do that. Two, we would need to hook up to city water or sewer. So we'd need to get permission to do that. We would need to figure out where we are putting the transfer station up there, which that's not that hard of a thing. What we did run into though with that particular location is some logistics of the courthouse is down here. So anybody who wanted to appear in person would need to be transported.
Tell me the location you're talking about by the dump.
Oak Harbor Road and Oakfield.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So there's a transfer station up there right by the Oak Harbor Road shop.
Okay.
And there's also some property that's for sale that the state owns up there that which is basically, I think, also under consideration. But we just, for site selection purposes, we're kind of using this as, do we want to be up north? The plus sides are workforce. We think there's more workforce up there. Residents, we tend to have more residents from that particular community up there. And so there's more family interaction. It's just by the nature of population and, you know, age. But that some of the downsides we discussed on that particular site were transportation, right? So not only do we have to move inmates to court when they need to appear in court, which would take two deputies basically every time you moved an inmate, also further from medical. So reminding that we hold the liability for any inmate, even in transport, there's no way for us to get out of that liability. There still are inmate. And so it's a, you know, 20-minute commute to the hospital versus what is now a 5-minute commute. And if we're holding that person in that situation, also we need to send probably deputies with the ambulance because again, you still have a secured inmate. So there's longer term operating costs associated with that site and more liability associated with that particular site and more politics associated with that site. Site number two is up by Human Services. The county owns property up next to Human Services off of First Street. So it's kind of across the street from the hospital.
It's a big field out there.
You can see it from the highway. I mean, obviously that we'd probably do screening, you know, like trees, but you can see it from the highway. We think some of the pushback on that site would be, you could see it from a school. I think some people would be bothered by that. Other people are not going to even know what it is because it's an inside building. There's some townhome condominiums up there. Benefits are it's next to Human Services. It's an undeveloped site, so you don't have to deal with demolition of the existing site. And it's near the hospital. It still will require deputies to take them to court if they don't appear electronically, which a lot are appearing electronically now. But it's still, there is some commute time in there, movement opportunity in there. which, you know, again, we've all seen the television shows, and that's when the breakouts happen, is in the transport.
We've seen it here in Coopville as well. So,
well, that's a law enforcement. No, it's true. So that secured commute is kind of risky. We've determined kind of risky. People are allowed to jump in or ask questions. So that's option number two. Option number three is the existing footprint. So the jail is in this building. It would require demolition of the existing jail, which would mean that we need to take the inmates we currently have and put them somewhere else. So we would be doing a period of transport while the jail is being constructed. We're going to pay corrections officers anyway. So whether they're being paid to commute people back and forth or being paid to see them on site, we're not going to disband our entire workforce and then rehire them after construction. So it's just kind of a shift in job duties, wouldn't you say?
I would think so. I would envision that being their time being spent, like you said, in transportation to whether it's medical appointments, court appearances, those sorts of things, and supplementing whatever jail we contracted with. Hopefully we could build that into a contract where we could reduce our overall cost for a contract by providing labor.
Right.
So
but that and has it, those, oh, sorry.
And is there an idea of a potential contract partner for that? Or we haven't gotten that far?
We haven't gotten that far, but likely Skagit probably, or?
It'd be the first place I looked. We have not talked to them at all about this. So.
And we don't know what those costs are. We just know that there will be those costs if we pick this existing location. And the entire building footprint would be utilized. So not just the jail footprint, but all of this space that we're in right now that houses county offices would be utilized. So there would require us then, we would need to build offices up on First Street for county operations. So either the jail would go up there or county operations would go up there. Or maybe they just do satellite county offices. There's nothing that says everything has to be located in Coopville. It says our decisions have to be made in Coopville, but it doesn't say that every office has to be in Coopville. So maybe we satellite office. Yes.
You were talking about how much space we need. Have you, in your needs assessment, is the overall capacity of inmates expected to change, or how did you come up with those forecasts for 50 years?
So those are, so we go out, as we walk through, we'll get to those numbers. I should know off the top of my head, but I think that right now it's projected to be at 14.
I thought we said 138, 140 was a magic number.
What number? And we have 80 now, 80 rooms now.
We have 58 beds now.
We have 58 beds now. So it's basically a doubling of the number of beds, which I think that's one of those conversations to have. Part of the jail, okay, so finishing up with this site, it would require more temporary office space, temporary jail space, and then we would need long-term offices to be built.
Did you put all that into the 92 million, I mean the numbers?
Yeah, not the county offices.
Okay.
So the thought right now is that we will bond out for the jail. We'll go to the voters and ask for a voter-approved bond to build the jail. And the county will use its own existing bonding capacity to build offices, because people are not going to want to pay for offices. The jail is, though, a community responsibility. Whether we like that reality or not, these facilities don't last forever. And just like we rebuild schools, we need to rebuild jails. So there'll be a conversation with the community about a bond for that. And that's part of the outreach part that needs to still happen, which is, you know, what's our initial gut reaction to these price tags? Because it's not insignificant. So if you go to page 4, it says what the different option price tags are. And this was based on the analysis of the company. One of the things to think about, though, that we found, we didn't think they got in option two, which is the lowest priced option building on First Street, is regardless, we're going to have to redo this building, right? So we're not going to build a new jail and leave half of this footprint as a jail. This will still need to be deconstructed, and then we'll have to do the remodeling piece of it to get office space in and make this footprint work. It might allow the juvenile detention center to stay where it is, but the rest of the jail would come down. So what's not in that $91 million is really deconstructing this particular building that did get built in. I think they thought we were just going to move it and then have an empty jail. And we are not doing that. There's just not enough space for that. So those are kind of the three options. Are there any gut reactions on like locations? Molly, you're gonna have the most gut, but you just have to like stay calm.
I just have to what?
Stay calm.
I've been expecting this. I mean, when you bought the giant piece of property or giant piece of commercial property left
in
town, I figured that it was either gonna be a jail or you were gonna move the offices over there. What I will say is I really, really hope if it's offices, especially, you have your, that's in a very weird special memorandum of agreement development piece of weirdness in Coopville. And it has 12 housing units available to it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be awesome for the county to build 12 workforce housing units on their new campus? Okay, that's what I just want to say.
Yeah, that's a clever idea. I think that we are interested in being property owners.
Worker lease housing units out?
I mean, until the liabilities laws change in this state, no government entity should own a house, right? Until we get rid of that joint and several, we're not going to be underlying property owners. Somebody slips out of the bathtub and they're millionaires.
Wouldn't that be a wonderful opportunity for Habitat?
If they can build a house, I think so. Anybody seen any houses?
Well, you can.
Well, yeah, but you're a long way away from this.
Yes, right. Long way. So yes, I think that's possible. It's not possible.
Oh, and there's another new housing group that's actually building.
Island Roots
is actually building stuff.
That it's not possible.
Okay.
That's all.
Plus, you can.
We won't be the owner.
Go to the housing authority and have them take it over.
We could do that.
And build it and lease it out. And port districts have been doing that for years. And now they're getting closer to being able to actually own and manage workforce housing.
Do you know the housing authority won't rent to anybody who's not legal?
Okay.
They don't need housing.
Okay.
Just saying, careful who you partner with.
Who won't rent to anybody that's not legal?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, so you might have to mow your own lawn.
Oh, okay.
All right, so the jail.
I'm going to just jump in here and say, as someone in an organization, that to say we are pinching pennies is really an understatement. So the least expensive option in the feasibility study, I think, is the site off of the highway. It also is a location that is more accessible to our organization than in Oak Harbor. So I haven't heard what everybody else thinks, and my opinion might change, but having read at least the initial part of the study, I would lean towards that site.
Okay. Any other?
I have a question. If you built the jail here, would you be able to then, like, take the annex and make it into a jail and leave our current population where they're at while you're building, and then move them over? Is that what the plan would be, or not necessarily?
We would probably need to get a transportation arrangement. I mean, my guess is that they would demolish everything, and because part of the problem with this building is that it's been piecemealed. So we've got three different generations of construction in this building, which is the wiring, the technology, the water pipe that's above the electrical box, the like, and all that's baked into like the concrete walls. And so really what would have to happen is a total takedown to the studs and then a rebuild. And so the, this is how it's been presented so far. So the offices would be, we'd do some work from home. Probably we might do some offsite offices. We would not build the new offices probably first. I wouldn't imagine, because the jail's the higher priority, unless we could have dual construction, but really we would relocate the inmates.
Okay. So, construction. So if you do it here, then you have to relocate the jail population and the juvenile delinquent population. Yes.
Yeah.
Both of them.
And the employees.
And the employees.
And all the employees. Office space that's here.
Right. Right. Wow. So everybody has to temporarily, or depending on what we, where we put people, quasi permanently locate somewhere else. So we own office space up in Oak Harbor that we could put people in. We have a family resource center, and we own another building up in Oak Harbor. So we could put some offices there. There's nothing, for example, that says the assessor's office is required to be in Coopville. So we could find another location for the assessor's office if we decided to relocate it somewhere else. So there's options like that, but we just haven't gotten to any of those explorations because we haven't picked a site and we haven't really gone out to the public yet. So it's all very...
So is the courthouse good? I mean, there's no thought of moving the jail and the courthouse over to the new piece of property, so there wouldn't be that transportation issue?
There's no thought of moving the courthouse, and there's not enough space up there either. I know you'd think there would be because it's raw land, but there's some wetlands. Then there's some parking, and there's some, I mean, there's parking problems here too, which is actually a problem. I think parking might be a problem. Okay, so if we keep going, I don't know. I'm just walking us through the books.
Mm-hmm.
They've assessed the facility. Do we need to talk about the current facility, or we all know it's a disaster? I'm willing to spend time on it.
Well, we know it's too small. I don't.
It's too small. The wiring is an issue. The other problem we're experiencing, Rick can talk about this more, is now, you know, since COVID, there's more court appearances remotely. None of our space was designed to have an inmate, their lawyer, sometimes deputies in there as well because of behavioral issues. I mean, they're pretty tiny rooms. And if somebody has an outburst in that room, there's not a lot of space. We don't have any family reunification space. So if you're an inmate in there for a few months, in which you can be in there for up to a year, you can't touch your family. So your child can visit you through glass and talk to you on the phone, but we have zero ability to do the type of screening you would need to allow that child to like hug their parent, right? You can in prison interact with your family. So you have actually more rights and freedoms in prison than jail. We have no fresh air outdoor space really to speak of. We've got a little court, and I don't know how often people go.
Daily, but it's literally a box with no ceiling, with, you know. So.
Yeah. So we don't have a lot. There's not fresh air. There's not good sunlight. There's not program space. So more and more, as we're being asked to do behavioral health work and you get different kind of behaviors in there, it's not your traditional lock them up population where it's like you did something wrong, we're going to put you in jail. There's a lot of behavioral counseling that needs to go on. There's not space for that in this jail. It was just designed for a different type of inmate at a different time.
So is there enough space there even for you to even consider remodeling it and still have some of these other features?
We've remodeled it to the point where I've run out of options. We just did a sort of a Band-Aid remodel to create some actual functional office space, as well as incorporate some of the things that Commissioner Johnson just talked about, as far as creating a space where if you're appearing in court, you have the right to sit with your attorney and have a conversation with your attorney. And it's a little, you know, 8x10 room with a screen on one end and a camera. It's there, and the design of this particular building, it's built in three tiers. So once, if you haven't been in it, one section of it is you know, a deep basic hole in the ground with tiers in it. And remodeling it is really not a viable option at this point. A, because of the design. B, because of the change in how jails are run. Modern jails are run. They're much more treatment oriented than they've ever been. So there's no treatment space in there. There's no classroom space in there.
Even if you remodel it, I guess.
Well, the problem with remodeling it is we would probably have to tear it down. I mean, we've had issues, construction or design issues, where we've had water pipes cast inside of concrete walls, right? So when you have a leak, and you will, if you cast a copper pipe inside of a concrete wall, at some point it's going to leak, right? And now you've got to jackhammer a hole in the wall to fix a leaky pipe. And then that leaky pipe was also run essentially 4 inches away from the breaker panel. So when it leaks, it pours water on the breaker panel, and now all the lights go out in the jail, and you don't have any power in the jail. And so it's lived its life, to be super honest. And the design doesn't lend itself to remodeling. And even if it did, it wouldn't accommodate the space needs that we're having now and moving forward for the next.
But you considered it. I just was.
Yeah, no, we had those conversations for sure. And we've talked to the engineers that are involved in this particular project about those things. It's just not realistic.
I want to speak to the reason that I'm in support of this, besides the fact we just need space for more people. But we do, and both Commissioner and Sheriff referenced this, we recognize that these days, most of the people who are put in the jail are people who either have drug problems or they have behavioral health problems or some kind of mental difficulties. And what we would like would be that they get the kind of treatment while they're in the jail so that when they are back in the population, they don't, you know, they've taken care of their problems by the time they get back in the population. And we are limited in what we can do for mental health in this particular building. We don't have mental health beds is what I understand.
Well, we probably won't have mental health beds per se by definition in a jail, right? That's not the place for that. But the conversation always ends up coming back to housing, because I think people have two perspectives of jail, right? One is it's timeout and you go there and you take your time out, like if you got sent to your room, right? Or a warehouse, and who cares what conditions they live under? They're criminals, right? And then there's rational thought about how do we reduce recidivism by helping people maybe change their perspective and change their life around so they don't keep coming back. I mean, I can tell you that the way we're doing it for the 30 years I've been in law enforcement in Island County, I can almost tell you whose names are on the board, and it's generational, right? So warehousing people isn't working, but we have to find the right balance between providing reasonable services for people, most of which is mandated by law, and providing accountability for people.
So if we turn to page 75.
Wow. We're on full.
I know. Well, we have to go back because we have a question to answer. But 75 kind of has a mock-up of how much space the jail would take. So it's bigger than the existing footprint. It looks like it goes over a road into some parking areas and a park area that I think we must own. But it uses basically all of that space. It goes back behind the building. I guess that road that I think's a road's a parking lot. But it's a bigger footprint than what we currently have. And my guess is like this parking out front, because it's a jail, right? We wouldn't need visitor parking. So the entire footprint changes. But we do need employee parking.
And you need jury parking.
And we desperately need to figure out the jury parking. I agree with that. And so I think parking becomes part of the challenge of this particular site. It also becomes a challenge of any site, because parking is just wasted space, but necessary space.
Was, you shouldn't need more parking.
We shouldn't need more.
Then you have, then you need now, you should actually probably need less than you have now of a need.
If the offices don't go back here.
Right, right, right. That's what I'm saying. If, I'm sorry, if this whole thing was a jail.
Yeah.
Was there any, did you guys consider keeping this, these beds in use for if there is any particular thing that they are well suited at, this current facility, aside from the infrastructure issues, and adding a new smaller facility that could house people that are in jail for a longer term, or people with families could be in that area, or that kind of thing, a hybrid?
We really didn't have it. And again, primarily because it, there's technology issues, wiring issues, plumbing issues. I mean, I think.
Plus, like, you'd have to staff and secure two facilities, right? Right. So we didn't, as part of this particular project, we didn't necessarily have that conversation. I know that Jose, Chief Baronis, and I, the jail administrator, and I have had, we've run just about every idea that we could through this. And we did talk at some point about, well, what if, right? What if we had a work release program, or what if we had X, Y, and Z? Could we use the existing facility? It doesn't pencil out though, right? I mean, to staff two things, to feed people two different kitchens, to, you know, two different food contracts, all those things are going to add up. And then there's a conversation to be had about the juvenile facility as well, right? So then you're running, are you running three organizations, right? Or three sites, so.
And the juvenile facility, it's kind of its own conversation, but a lot of the laws around juvenile detention has changed. I think that's probably our area of greatest pushback, is the recommended number of beds for juvenile when we have an average daily population of like 1.5. It's very rarely, it's never at capacity. It's rarely used. It's really for kids who have, who really no other options are going to work for. And the state laws are very focused on, I can't get the word I want, on rehabilitation and ensuring that we're not getting kids incarcerated. And so that is probably in here the model that we had most questions about, because it seems very old model in terms of the number of beds it's recommending.
How many beds do you have now in the juvenile facility?
I don't know.
I think there's...
We needed Megan for that.
I don't know, 12 or 14 beds.
Your average is only 1.5 kids. Yeah. That's not right.
Yeah, there's tons
of 100%. It's true. It's not right, but it's true.
There, it truly is that we have an entire staff. You have to keep it staffed all the time, and regardless of whether or not there are any kids or not. And the laws are just designed in a way that they don't want kids in the court system. We used to also have like juvenile drug court. Those programs went away, so there's no stick incentive for them to participate in that, because it was an alternative to jail. Well, being a kid is the alternative to jail now. So we, even those kind of programs for juveniles are not, everything's kind of focused on community rehabilitation.
Drug court went away?
For kids, juvenile.
What do you consider juvenile?
18 and under.
Okay.
Which, again, problematic, because, you know, wow. If you look at our utilization of the jail, we're in an 18 to, you know, 24, 28 range of our high utilizers, which then if we jump back to, I don't know where now, if we keep going through, see, this is the problem with having me present. I'm very sorry.
No, this is good. This is really good.
We should have brought in a professional.
If you're going to go forward with this, you're going to need promotion countywide. This is really worthwhile.
So one thing to make clear is we're not asking for municipal payment, with the exception of maybe Oak Harbor, where if there's a certain number of beds that you would rent. But we're not asking any municipality to build, because we're looking potentially at this bond. It's a property tax, and everybody pays the property tax if they're in the county, right? So it's not that that we're asking municipalities to kick in additional money. Your citizens are already paying as residents of Island County for the bond. So there's not an additional contribution being looked for from each municipality if for example, early on, especially, you know, when it's first built, if Oak Harbor says we want certain number of beds for inmates, then we would negotiate like a payment for those beds. But there's not, we are not at this point looking at any construction dollars from any municipality or anything additional from certain municipalities, because again, the taxpayers are all equal taxpayers in Island County, so they will pay their share. Okay, I just wanted to make sure that nobody was worried that they had to budget for it in your county or city budget. I guess apparently based on the files, nobody was worried about that.
They were just saying, we don't have any money. That's what they're saying.
There will be big financial consequences to Coopville. That it will be handled in the design and permitting and stuff. But yeah.
Yeah.
Lift stations, the stress on the sewer plant, the additional water needs.
Yes.
Water shares. I mean, all that.
Those are real
infrastructure.
Life. Right. Those are real life considerations mm-hmm. that will impact Coopville.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, as the developer, those costs should be transferred to the developer, right? You're not going to redo your system because of the jail and then just absorb it, would you?
No. Okay. That's what I'm saying. Okay. No, we won't.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, this is also the problem about the county seat being in Coopville is Coopville doesn't have the largest infrastructure, right? But it is where our facilities are. So it is a larger pressure. Oak Harbor does, but we could have conversations. It would restart things a little, but we could have conversations about moving the courts and closer to the jail and moving everything up north. It still brings forward that conversation of the APZ when we would just insulate to accommodate it. But that's where most of the space is. That we own is on the outskirts of the city.
Oak Harbor has a courthouse building. Could you explain how that's different?
Jail. What's the Oak Harbor jail? Is that the district?
There is no court.
They use our jail.
We have no jail.
Oh, okay.
They have a courthouse.
A district
for
court.
District court.
District
yeah.
court.
County. It's a yeah. county facility.
But that's just different types of cases, not criminal
yeah.
cases.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's criminal cases in there, but misdemeanors generally. Yeah. So.
So did sometimes inmates need to get transferred to Oak Harbor right now?
Rarely, because it's usually misdemeanors, but it happens. And what also to keep in mind is that if somebody's arrested in Oak Harbor, for example, then Oak Harbor brings them to jail, and then Oak Harbor brings them back to court, and then Oak Harbor brings them back to jail if they're held. So there's all that transportation going on. So I had a thought.
Oak Harbor Police Department's responsible.
Yeah, I just
for that.
Called them. Yeah, they were just in the parking lot this morning before we came.
Okay.
Back. It happens all the time. Or the State Patrol or State Parks or whoever is utilizing the facility, okay. right? All that happens. But, I mean, in the perfect world, we could stay close to our services. But I start thinking about other jails around the state, and the Skagit County Jail, for example, isn't really that much closer to the hospital than we are, right? So they also have to staff appropriately to plan on all those movements. So there's a cost associated either way, and the distance might be a wash. It kind of makes my risk management spidey senses tingle when I think about moving inmates. Not just because I'm worried about escapes, but they're problematic, right? There's car crashes that could happen. There's opportunities to, you know, for all kinds of bad things to happen. And we should minimize that at all, every opportunity, but it's not the end of the project. The project doesn't have to die if we're X number of miles from the hospital, right? We just have to have that as part of the thought process.
So that was in reference to Oak Harbor. Okay. So we keep moving on. This is good stuff.
So if we go to page 56. Kind of does the population forecast out to 2040. Obviously, this is kind of not, we're not building we're building the jail beyond this, but you can see kind of the growth that they were using. And it includes demographic growth, the profiles of who's in our jail. So what they think that demographic population will grow at current utilization, right? And so this is also one of those things that has changed since the jail's been built. First of all, jail population changes based on whatever drug is popular. So, you know, back in the day when people smoked marijuana, they weren't out there stealing. People started using meth, they got a little more go-getter and they started stealing, right? So depending on what people are addicted to kind of drives that crime rate. And right now we've got addicts who are, they're not the sit on your couch with the Doritos type of addicts. And so that's driving some of this. The other thing that's changed since the jail was built is this gang behavior that we've been really insulated from has started happening lots in Mount Vernon, somewhat over here, but Mount Vernon sometimes will send over inmates that they need to get out of their population because they've got Mount Vernon, I'm saying Escagit, but that they've got, and even Watco, they've got really extreme rivalries that they need to get out of their jail. So we're taking some of those populations, but we also are starting to see that. So what happens is you've got to put them in, you have to separate their rooms. They have to go out on different lunch shifts. They can't interact with each other. So there's much more single isolation of some personalities than we had before. So the population projections, as well as the number of rooms you need, counts on, considers things like isolation rooms, segmenting different people, even our intake. This is the one that drives crazy. So we have one intake room, right? If you know anything about the felons, they all know each other and half of them hang out. And when you pick up one, they start narking out on the others. And all of a sudden, all the same people who commit the same crime are in the trying to get in the same intake room. Why? Because they can coordinate their stories. So we have to use visitation rooms as inmate isolation rooms right now, because if you pick up a little crew, we don't have space to intake all those crew members at the same time and keep them separate so they don't coordinate their stories. It's, you know, these inmates are not unintelligent individuals. It's just they're not intelligent enough not to get caught. But they definitely
make better choices.
They definitely have strategies. And so our facilities have to be able to adapt to whatever their newer strategies are. And right now we just have this kind of old formulaic built.
Is the increase in homeless population increasing the population in your jail? Are you seeing that at all?
I don't know that that's a connection. What does cross over, I think, is that a fair number of people who are homeless are struggling with either a mental health or narcotic issue or both. So that is where the bridge is, I think. I don't think being homeless has any relationship with going to jail other than that.
So if you look at the page, there's kind of this base population on page 58, and that is kind of where they think that will be. Plus, if you look at page 58, if you look at that, that's kind of our base population. Plus, if we have a peak, right? So plan for a surge in your jail, plus adding in what Oak Harbor would need for beds. And that gets us up to this total of 122 inmates versus the 58.
The building was designed for like 54, and there's some at some point or another, we're able to double bunk a couple of rooms that you can manage with people that aren't. They can interact.
What? We got our number from Totem.
Why do you point out Oak Harbor?
Because they have the most utilization of the jail and they don't have their own now. So we take Coopville and Langley's population in terms of jail, but you're not driving the need in the same way the largest city's driving the need. I mean, if you don't
have very many criminals, Molly.
Also,
yeah, but Langley and Cookville don't pay as much money as Oak Harbor does. I mean, we pay for district court and for jail and for prosecutors and all that stuff. And Oak Harbor pays a way bigger percentage.
Right. They utilize.
I mean, as they should. But then I don't understand why they would have to pay for their own beds.
They're not paying.
That's not what you're saying. That's part of the factor of the number of beds. Building it into the.
How many we needed. How many beds we needed. It's assuming that population would come up here. So the other thing too is, and this might be a more North End conversation, is that there's a lot of conversations about why does this person have a warrant and they're not picked up? And this is an ongoing discussion.
Constant.
Yes. There's no, we don't traditionally hold people on warrant status unless the warrant warrants picking them up. But if you're like a failure to appear warrant, you may or may not get picked up. You could call another jurisdiction and say, hey, we have so-and-so out on a warrant. Do you want us to grab them? And that jurisdiction may say no, because their goal is to get them out of their community, right? Just like—
Well, and their jail's full too.
And their jail's full too. And just like, by the way, we do that to other places too. If you've got one of our people and they're not high risk and they call and say, do you want us to pick this person up? We might tell them no, just like they're in your community now. Enjoy,
did,
right?
Did we talk about the fact how often your jail is full? Did we even talk about that today yet?
We didn't talk about it today.
I mean, it seems like we should start with that.
Well, the fact of the matter is it would be full every day if we weren't managing it the way we're managing it and turning away a lot of misdemeanor warrants. It would be over full. If, you know, not to be the guy that walked to school uphill both ways, but when I started as a deputy in Island County, if you had a warrant, we took you to jail. If you were driving suspended, we took you to jail, right? That's the way we had the capacity. And that was what the community supported at that time. Things have changed dramatically in the last 30 years. And we have multiple hundreds of people out with current misdemeanor warrants in Island County who are not being picked up because they're not currently a danger to the community. And you know, we don't have the space.
Right.
At some point, this is going to have to go to the voters. And that sounds like the first pitch, just my opinion. And you're chairing the next meeting. Can it be a little late?
Malcolm's not here, but I think so. But we can wrap it up with just the...
If we wrap it up, we should do it again, because there's a lot more to this.
We can bring in a professional presenter who like knows the details better than I do. I mean, I'm still kind of in the shock absorption phase myself of like, is this real? I think some of these questions, though, are really good to understand where the community is going to come from. Like, did you think of these alternatives? Why can't you reuse the existing space? I mean, that's really what's helpful for us in hearing some of this feedback, is making sure that we've got solid answers. Because if there's another way to do it, we obviously want to take the most cost-effective and humane route. The other thing is we can build it smaller with fewer beds. It's just that the facility won't last as long, right? So you can build a 30-year facility and not a 45-year facility. But you're going to be back out in the...
But the expensive part is the infrastructure, and that's the same no matter what the square footage is.
And so that's that kind of part that we've got to, when we go back out there to talk to people, we need to be able to explain and justify, which is... You know, you can build something for shorter term. You can use less resilient materials. Those are all cost-cutting options that might exist, but you're going to pay for it then by rebuilding sooner and putting it back out there because they'll have to bond again in 25 years instead of 40 years.
So still on page four, I mean, you're on the cost, your key exclusions.
Yeah.
Are easily $20 million, easily $20 million, probably more than that. So those costs will be figured out and added to that bond before you go to bond?
Right. So the steps would be that we'd go out to the community, we'd start talking to the community about really what their bonding tolerance is, what their preferred location is, and what their appetite is for the fact that we need to build this new jail. And I mean, I get that people might not be hungry for it, but we're going to have to increase their
demand. What's the millage on $100 million in Island County?
No, that depends on how long you spread it out. And that will depend on, again, if we build a 40-year facility or a 20-year facility. 20-year facility, we probably want to get out of it, be done paying for it in 10 to 15 years, right? a 40-year facility, we could spread it out probably over 20. So it just depends on how long we want to carry it, and then also how much it is. But we, I mean, honestly, since I've been here, we haven't bonded for anything. So I haven't gone through, I've seen schools go through it, but we have never gone through it.
Is there a timeline for the outreach?
So the initial kind of feasibility reaction to the feasibility probably needs to happen this fall, early winter. And then we need to go back with that information and put out an RFP to get schematics designed so that we really kind of understand what it is higher level, but what it is we're really looking at, what site we're picking, and what we think the actual costs are. And then our hope is to be out there end of next year, maybe at the latest 2027. Because for a variety of reasons, starting with the fact that this current board has the most experience to understand the needs. The current sheriff has the most experience to understand the needs, and the current prosecutor has the most experience to understand the needs. And when you bring in newly elected officials, it takes a long time for you to acknowledge that this is an actual need. If you bring in newly elected officials, but that's one of the reasons why we're thinking the timing kind of needs to be now, because there is that kind of innate understanding of what we're spending on the building. I mean, we've got $1 million electrical box problem on the existing jail. You start to get those expenses, and at some point you've got good money after bad, and you don't have the safest facility, and it's not sized right for the community, and it's not sized right for the not just in terms of the number of rooms, it's also not meeting the values of the community anymore. And those two things are problems.
But realistically, it's going to end up in Coopville.
I think so, yes.
Absolutely, because there's not that much difference in the price between the three locations to build it, but the ongoing operation of it after it's built will be much higher in Oak Harbor than it is in Coopville.
Yes.
But so why would you ask? So you don't mean you're going to ask the community the difference between the two sites in Coopville? That should be an economic decision, a safety decision, an operational decision, you know, with things like how close is it to the courthouse and how close is it to the hospital, things like that.
I think by asking where the community is, they're creating more ownership around some of the choices. And also, if there's real negativity around something that we have not thought about, because again, when you make decisions here, we know ourselves, right? We know what makes sense for us, but that doesn't mean that we always know what the community values, and they might value something completely different than we do. And so it's just worth asking. And then also it's the community's jail. It's not our jail. I mean, we run it, but we run it on behalf of the community. So, you know, I know I rarely listen, but on this one, because I think it's important for them.
One more question over here too. So,
yeah, it goes back to my earlier question about the forecast. Found the chart on page 59.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And I just wanted to point, you know, my background as an engineer and looking at data and forecasting things, I'm just kind of questioning this forecast, and I think we should give it a closer look. But the past 7 years, and then projects out 15. And it started at 46, went up and then down and then up and then back down last year to 47. So to me, that looks like a pretty flat trend line. And then they forecasted up 4% a year somewhat arbitrarily. And I'm not saying it's the wrong forecast or anything. I don't know. But to me, that doesn't look that convincing.
Right. So I think one thing to remember about 2020 and 2021, COVID.
Yeah.
Right. So we really weren't taking people, but I don't disagree with you. I think that kind of forecast projection it's also based on who's not in there. So this is where I wish that they were kind of here to explain it a little better, but it includes it used those numbers of how many like active community warrants we have and who we're not picking up. And so if we started to do some of that work, who would come in? And then it also has our population growth in there based on our prior population growth projection. But I do think there are still some questions in there about, like, some of my questions are, where's the population growing? Is it growing in the 18 to 24 range, or is it growing in the 60 plus range? And if it's growing in the 60 plus range, typically they are not your drug addicted thieves. Typically,
right? South Whidbey is 60 plus.
Right. And so if that's where a lot of, no, Oak Harbor's still younger,
right?
But if a lot of the growth is coming from a population that's out of this range, is our growth projection really in alignment with our jail utilization? And I think that that's where the sizing of the jail conversation, I think, needs a greater kind of reality check. So I appreciate your instinct on that, because I think that's where the committee was too, where we're like, really? And then also the board is like, we put a lot of money into, you know, human services, outreach, community-based stabilization, and we're still growing incarceration 4% a year. I mean, we're spending this money to keep people out of this very expensive system and life-altering system, and we're not seeing any decrease based on all those investments and efforts. So I agree that the forecasting is probably the area where we have the most opportunity to say, you know, the sites are the sites. The need is the need, but how big the need is, I think you're, I appreciate that. I will say that I
did a fair amount of research on how to predict how big of a jail a community needs. And there's three or four models out there that seem to be the consistent models. And this particular organization, and I don't have any connection with them, but this product seemed to use more data than any of those three things. They plugged in things like, hey, you had a slump during COVID, and they plugged in things like legislative changes and try to make predictions. So it was somebody's estimate, right? So it could go either way realistically, but I don't think they just threw a dart, to be honest. So.
No, I don't think they did either. But I do think that there are community variables that are unique to us, right? Our 18, 24 year olds are largely military in some cases. They tend not to be the inmates. But again, economic disparity also does lend itself to more incarceration. And if we're starting to see more of that on the island, you do see more crime. And so I think there's some of those factors that are in there that they understand better than we understand. So that's a good feedback to get, is that we need to understand the projections better.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming in, Sheriff. Hopefully we'll see you again soon.
Yeah, I'd be happy to be involved in the conversation going forward. Unfortunately, I do have to go across the street for a meeting in a minute. So,
all right. thank you. And go ahead.
If you have more questions, then you can email them to me or to Jeff in the back or to Rick. And you just send over, like, as you go through it, say, this doesn't make sense, or I'm concerned about this. Because again, we want to make sure that we're prepared to answer community questions. And then also, if there are things where we're like, this doesn't make sense, we have the ability to change it right now.
Do you feel like this group is beneficial enough to have another meeting before you're going out to the public? Sounds like fall, early winter is like tomorrow. So, I don't know, but we've kind of discussed our COG schedule. Is there something that you'd like to do? And I think we're not having a meeting in November, but...
It's up to everybody else. I mean, I'm happy to do one-on-ones. I think Rick is, I keep saying me, but it's only because I'm the one on the committee, but I think any commissioners have to do one-on-ones.
It was the feedback I thought you might want. I
want the feedback. So, okay.
All right. Well, you all heard that. Feedback is critical. We're probably not going to have another meeting before this starts to go public, but make sure that you get your information back to Commissioner Johnson and, follow up with your thoughts.
Or any commissioner or Rick.
Okay. Any commissioner or Rick. All right. We've got a short presentation from Cody regarding broadband. Come on up. And we're going to go a few minutes late for you folks that are coming in for our IRTPO.
Good Welcome. Morning, everyone. Just for the record, Cody Bakken, ARPA Broadband Coordinator for Island County. I will try to keep this as short and sweet as possible. And if you have any questions afterwards, it'd probably be easiest to just directly email me. So there's a number of projects that are publicly funded that are happening on both islands, and I'm going to try to describe them as quickly as possible. BEAD, I've talked about before, is the big federal bill that came through. It was supposed to be about $1.2 billion to Washington alone. Every state and territory got some. The NTIA came through and said, hey, Congress is itching, so we're going to change round three and make it the benefit of the bargain and change all the rules. And so that was our Washington's planned round three direct negotiations. So that everything got thrown out. All the preliminary project awards were rescinded. All the project areas were reopened for application. All the costs were mandated to be as low as possible, prioritized for cost above all else. All available technologies were made eligible. So that includes fixed licensed wireless, fixed unlicensed wireless. So using like cell phones to connect towers and then do fiber to the home. LEO, which is low Earth orbit satellite, fiber, cable, all of it was made available. And there's some really cool technologies.
And it wasn't previously, I'm sorry.
Yes.
And it wasn't previously.
Previously, it was strictly limited to fiber and where absolutely necessary,
okay,
satellite.
All right.
Yeah. So that was a huge change. That does lower costs just naturally, but it also changed a lot of how things were looked at. So that meant that a lot more locations, individual locations, were marked as satellite likely, including in Island County. So there were multiple applications from our broadband partners in Island County, and Island County even partnered with Whidbeetel for South Whidbey because we thought it was a really good partnership right there. We did not get that application. Astound partnered with NOAANet, which is a public entity provider of, they do open access and dark fiber. So they don't provide direct service. They just make it available. And because they're a public entity, they were able to access state dollars that were set aside for this program also. So Astound and NOAANet applied for all four project areas on both islands. There was two each. And they got three of the four project areas. So North Whidbey, North Camino, and South Camino were, and North Whidbey would be all of North Whidbey down to just south of Coopville. And that was, so that was, all three were getting, got those to Astound and NOAANet. They are currently working on putting together the contracts for the grants with the state. That's going to take a little bit. We can anticipate construction to be hopefully in 2027 because it takes time to do state contracts with federal money. I can give you some quick numbers because the benefit of the bargain also changed how many locations were actually eligible. Camino had a total of 1,162 locations. That was 625 in the north and 537 in the south. Whidbey had a total of 1,839 locations, North Whidbey being 1,095, and South Whidbey being 744. What I did not mention so far is that South Whidbey, which didn't go to Astound NOAANet, was assigned solely to satellite options.
For the federal funding. I'm sorry, Jill.
Correct.
So they're on their own with the South the Whidbeetel for their hardline, but the federal funding will only apply to satellite options. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just wanted to know where the cutoff was from North Whidbey to South.
There was a kind of blank space between the project areas on Whidbey. So the North Whidbey project area ended south of Coopville. Just south of Coopville.
Okay.
And then the South Whidbey project area started just south of Green Bank.
All right.
I'm sorry, I get confused. Green Bank or Freeland, which was the
no, farther it's probably south. Green Bank.
Yeah,
because that's
the farther south part. Yeah. The middle, the narrow portion of the island was not included in any project area. There was
which okay. just don't exist.
Everything was claimed by another project.
So if there's funding for satellite, how does that work? I mean, I understand these projects that are they're putting in underground fiber, even dark fiber. How do the feds through the state fund users using more satellites signing up for Elon Musk? What I mean, tell me how that works.
Starlink and Amazon. Amazon has a program that is not even up and running yet, and that got some of the locations.
So they got funded by this program to help South Whidbey?
Yes. Well, they got the two LEO providers got locations in all four project areas because there's always going to be a handful of locations that are just absolutely too expensive to build to because they are in the middle of a forest. They're up on a rocky outcropping. They're on an island, something like that. There's always going to be a few.
Is this a local issue anymore, or is this these companies going to get federal money to serve these residents? What's the local role? If they're not necessarily in our right of ways, if they're not, what are we doing?
Monitoring and keeping a thumb on the pulse.
Something that we don't control the money of, don't issue the projects for, don't have any. I mean, I appreciate your honesty in that because it's your job, but there's nothing for us anymore at a local level.
There's nothing that we can control except how much information we can help the public get a hold of.
Were you administrating funds previously?
I would, if we had gotten the South Whidbey project, I would have been listed as the project manager for Island County.
Okay.
Okay, so I want to move on from BEAD. If there's no more questions, and I'm sure there's lots of questions, please email me. I will get you all the information I can. Commissioner Sinclair has also been pretty up to date on everything. And actually, there's another meeting today with the State Broadband Office. So there's the local project in North Camino with Zipley that Island County did do. We used ARPA funds, about $300,000. And they are doing what's called locates, which means they're doing the actual on the ground, like 6 inches here, dig, and 5 inches here, dig. Like it's really, really specific. They were going to do mostly aerial lines in North Camino, and there was some delays because of snowpad and trees. So Zipley made the decision to eat a little bit of the cost that would have been a cost prohibitively otherwise, but with the snowpad delay is no longer a cost in comparison. And so they are going to do more buried fiber and less aerial than initially planned. It's now going to be about a 40-60 buried aerial instead of three small locations that were buried and everything aerial, which is significant. Will be a couple more permits for Island County to deal with, but from 6 to maybe 10. But this is really good news because this actually cuts like 2 months off of that anticipated timeline with the tree trimming.
Permits, you mean franchise agreements for them to go under our roads?
We already have the franchise agreement in place.
Okay.
Yeah, that was something we worked on last year. So that's moving everything forward. We are already delayed from what the initial timeline was in midsummer, but we have solid, they are doing groundbreaking on Friday. This is solid information. It is happening. We know they will be done by mid-November.
This is on Camino? Or?
This is on North Camino.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a smaller project. It's using ARPA funding. That's some of the last of the ARPA funding, and this project will be done before the end of this year, and people will have service before the end of this year. they will not see an ability to sign up before the service is turned on. And that's due to how Ziply has their system set up. So if there are constituents who are asking, can I sign up in advance? The answer is no, because customer service is not going to see service to that address yet.
And how many homes is that?
That's 112 locations.
And they fell in our lower income, we want to make sure they have access demographic or no? They fell into our, I want to put it on my brochure and tell people I accomplished something in 8 years in office demographic or what?
I'll be honest again, that the determination for the locations was made before I came on board. So I was not privy to all of that decision making. When I came on board, I said, these are the locations. Okay.
Okay. I mean, I already know the answer or I wouldn't have asked the question. So, okay. So basically what we've got it down to is broadband is out of our control. We're talking about it. So we feel good about ourselves. Like we did something.
Well, we did do something. 100 people, we paid for them to get their broadband and then start digging on Friday.
And I have some other unfortunate news about Puerto Coupville's broadband project with Ziply that we, on behalf of Ziply, requested to only serve 300 some homes instead of the original 1,000 that was contracted through our original grant, because a lot of them had already been served and et cetera. But federal treasury rejected that request and so wasn't going to let Ziply get the same amount of money to only install 300 some homes. And so Ziply's pulled out of the project now. And so we're winding it down.
Okay.
So Cookville has no solution.
That's right. Those
space between Green Bank and
a lot of them were already served, but in the meantime of the 5 years of doing this, but there were 300 homes, 330 or something that were going to get, we wanted to serve, Ziply wanted to serve, but Treasury didn't agree with that request. So no, we have no solution for them at the moment, but it's still kind of in flux. We have a meeting about it later today. So.
Well, let us know if you're coming back. Can you wrap it up?
Yes. So lastly, this is a small update. Widbitel and their subsidiary FiberCloud did get a contract, a Community Connect grant from the USDA for an area in South Camino. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of an area that's carved out from the BEAD project area. And they're going to do something with a fixed wireless solution. So I think they're going to be trying to put in a tower, I think is how they're going to do it. And that's on the south end of Camino. And it is, they got the award in October 2024 for $2.25 million to do this. And they said they are moving on the contracts with the USDA currently.
Well, that's good news.
How many people?
Well, because I believe it's going to be a fixed wireless solution, that number is going to be a little bit more mutable, because with a wireless signal, you would be able to redirect where things are going differently than if you are building a specific fiber line to a location.
Is that like not to be confused for like wireless to a device? In other words, it's going to go from a tower to a substation. Is that what you're saying?
I don't have all the details on that, but it should be a more mutable number.
You know what? That's a nice term, mutable number, whatever. But I appreciate the update and the fact that you've been honest with us. And maybe you can come back and report again. Any more questions on that? Okay. We need to, we could give a second to other items of mutual. Never mind. We're done. This meeting's adjourned.
Do you want this chair?
Priorities. Oh, I'm not chairing this meeting.
No, I know. But I mean, it's
not being generous. I think so, but I think
thanks.
Appreciate
those aren't over.
They're not great. I'll just change.
Thanks, fucking Annie. You did our jobs.